Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Welcome to our annual Real Science Radio's list of missing fossils.
Missing fossils. Wow, this is going to be a long list.
It's our first one, Fred. Can we call it our annual?
Sure.
Our plan is to do it every year. So this should be fun. We want to start with a quote from Richard Dawkins and end with a quote from Charles Darwin. I mean, they're two of the leading authorities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Dawkins was in the news a little while ago. That bus going around in England.
Oh, yeah.
That said there probably is no God. So stop worrying and enjoy your life.
Right.
And, you know, Richard Dawkins was a big supporter of that thing. So let's start with a quote from him. I think that's a great idea. Okay. Dawkins said this about fossils. It is as though they were just planted there without any evolutionary history. Needless to say, this appearance of sudden planting has delighted creationists. Yeah, it sure has.
Yeah.
All evolutionary schools of thought agree that the major gaps are real, that they are true imperfections in the fossil record. The only alternative explanation of the sudden appearance of so many complex animal types in the Cambrian era is divine creation, and all the evolution camps reject this alternative.
Right.
Of course they do. They reject God.
Yeah. And so, like you said, the buses, there probably is no God. So enjoy your sexual immorality. That's basically
that's what it's saying.
What
exactly.
Darwinists are saying. So, Fred, that's not a scientific but a philosophical conclusion that they're drawing, because look at this. The fossils appear without any evolutionary history. I love it. By the way, I'm getting over laryngitis.
But
hopefully we'll survive the show. Fred, the evolutionists will say their knee-jerk reaction with no evidence at all. They'll say, you're taking this quote out of context.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many times I've heard that.
And right.
You know,
well, I read the whole
1%
book.
Of the time, they're right. You know, because every now and then you haven't researched
might,
a quote well, or you're just quoting what someone else
1%,
quoted.
1%, right.
But, boy, you know, so often it is totally in context.
Well, I read the whole book, The Blind Watchmaker by Dawkins. In fact, we should embed in the show summary at realscienceradio.com for this program the YouTube clip we have of Richard Dawkins saying, in none of my books did I present evidence for evolution. And I said that to a caller back like 1995. I said, Dawkins, I read his books. He's not presenting evidence. And Dawkins says, I never did. I better now, but I never did for 20 years. So this was in The Blind Watchmaker. This quote is not out of context. By the way, our first handful of quotes are coming from Michael Snyder. He's a successful attorney. Are those two words? Are you allowed to put them in the same successful attorney?
Yeah.
Let's not hold that against him. He's also a popular blogger on economics issues, which is one of the topics we love at Bob Enyart Live. But so in The Blind Watchmaker, where Snyder and 1,000 other people got this quote, it's completely in context, and there's enough of it here that it's not possible to take it out of context. It's simply not possible. The fossils, it looks like they were just planted there without any evolutionary history.
That's what the science shows.
In all the various schools of thought, really there's two he mentions, agree that the major gaps are real. Not minor gaps.
Yeah.
The major gaps, they're real. But what? Divine creation? We're not going to go there. So we just have to deal with it.
Have to reject it.
Right. Now, testimony contrary to interest. Remember when that big Enron went bankrupt and all people lost millions in their...
I think the liberals were really mad.
Right. So let's say you had an executive of Enron. Was it Kenneth Lay? Was that the president's name?
I think so.
And he was testifying and he said, look, we mismanaged the company. We knew we did it. And we did it to enrich ourselves. Now, if that is testimony contrary to interest, that is among the most reliable testimony available in human history.
Absolutely.
And from a hostile witness, somebody who's opposed to your position. And so when we're accused of quote mining,
they don't like it because of what we're doing. I mean, we're using very powerful quotes from you know, like you said, hostile witnesses, testimony, contrary to what is in their best interest.
Yes, it's the most powerful evidence as far as the testimony of experts that you can ever use in a debate like this. And all they say is quote mining like R and Ra.
Yeah.
And he did a two
That's
word
right. He did in
quote
the debate,
mine
right away yep.
on Lord Kelvin.
It's that, like they're that talking was points.
Yes. So Darwinists, for the most part, they're not looking so hard anymore for the missing links because we pretty much have got the fossil record. And this is a point that Walter Remine makes in his book. And it's such a great point. And we've interviewed him. We did four shows with him. Fabulous. RealScienceRadio.com/Remine, R-E-M-I-N-E. But Fred, he points out this, the framework of the existing families, orders, kinds, species of fossils is so complete that when we do find a new fossil, it always fits into the existing framework of families and orders and kinds and species. It's not like three heads and 92 wings.
Yeah.
You know, it fits in.
It already fits in with already known.
It's a tree. It's an angiosperm. It just fits in. And Walter Remine did such a great job of explaining that. We interviewed him. Four great interviews.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
Anybody would like to read that. And about quote mining, just go to realscienceradio.com/quote mining. And so the fossil record is not going to produce the breakthrough missing link. And they've known this for a long time because we have the complete record. There's not an infinite number of organisms that have lived on planet Earth. It's a finite number, and there's only so many kinds of creatures. And for the most part, we found all the organisms that the fossil record is going to reveal.
Well, do you remember a guy, Dr. Miles Eldridge? He was a famous evolutionist.
Niles
wrote
famous, wildly
lots
famous.
Of books on it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, just 30 years ago, he said this, 120 years of paleontological research later, it has become abundantly clear that the fossil record will not confirm this part of Darwin's predictions, nor is the problem miserably poor record. The fossil record simply shows that this prediction is wrong. So he's saying right there, it's not a poor record. It's a great record. It's
right.
It's pretty much complete.
Hostile witness, testimony contrary to interest.
Big time hostile witness.
What, quote mining? We're taking that out of context? How could you possibly take that out of context? When an evolutionist says you're taking that out of context, then the response is, in what way? How? You're quote mining. How?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they say, well, because he's still an evolutionist. No kidding. We're quoting him as an evolutionist.
Yes.
That's why it's so powerful.
And I'll ask them, well, provide the rest of the quote. And a lot of times I'll have it. And then I'll say, okay, now where in here am I misrepresenting his position?
Right.
You know, on Miles Eldridge, he was one of these punctuated equilibrium guys. So a lot of times they didn't say quote mining on his quotes because, in a sense, he was hostile to
him
the gradualism
and Stephen
model.
Jay Gould.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the two camps.
Yep.
That evolution happens always slowly, gradually, like Darwin said, or like Stephen Jay Gould said, happen rapidly in spurts.
Yeah, where
punctuated
you can't see it.
Equilibrium.
Yep. His evidence for that was lack of evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
That was something Walter Remine had quoted. Yeah. He found something that Eldridge had said. One of his predictions is not finding, you know, the evidence.
The evidence that things evolve quickly is we're not going to find evidence of evolution. Yeah, that is funny. And you know what about Niles Eldridge, who you just mentioned, and Gould? They both spent decades at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, and we just had Jack Quazzo on, the Neanderthal expert. And Jack, in fact, he did a tour, Fred, since we did that show with him, two shows. And one of our listeners from England was visiting the States, heard the show, and went and met Jack Quazzo and took a tour of the museum. So I'm a bit envious.
Yeah.
I wish I had been there. So fun. Fred, the next quote is from a lesser known evolutionist, the paleontologist, Mark Zernecki. This was from a Canadian publication, Maclean's, and this is what he wrote. A major problem in proving the theory of evolution has been the fossil record. This record has never revealed traces of Darwin's hypothetical intermediate variants. Instead, species appear and disappear abruptly. And this anomaly, it can't be an anomaly if it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And this anomaly has fueled the creationist argument that each species was created by God.
Yeah,
I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, another guy, famous evolutionist, Stephen Stanley at Johns Hopkins University.
Yeah.
He said,
very famous.
Yeah,
huge.
He commented on the stunning lack of transitional forms in the fossil record. He said that, in fact, the fossil record does not convincingly document a single transition from one species to another. Not one. Not a single one.
Right. Not one. Ah, that's too funny. Because Stephen Stanley is wildly well known, and he's with Johns Hopkins University, you know, a hotbed of evolutionary dogma. So then we have Stephen Jay Gould, who we mentioned earlier, professor of geology and paleontology at Harvard University. And Fred, I mentioned that I grew up going to the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. Well, Gould was involved for decades. They published 300 articles in their magazine. And this is what he wrote about the lack of transitional forms. Quote, "The absence of fossil evidence for intermediary stages between major transitions in organic design, indeed our inability, even in our imagination, to construct functional intermediates in many cases, has been a persistent and nagging problem for gradualistic accounts of evolution."
Yeah, and so that's why he came up with this idea of punctuated equilibrium.
Right.
He said it happens in spurts really fast.
Very quickly.
Small, isolated populations, so you don't see it.
Yeah, and there are huge genetic problems with that, as we cover in our Haldane's Dilemma show with Walter Remine. But, Fred, the evidence for evolution is shrinking.
Oh.
Like the junk DNA used to be a big argument. It's shrinking. That we're 99% the same as chimp DNA, shrinking. That the fossil record proves evolution, it's shrinking.
Yeah, where is the evidence? It should be on a milk carton.
Right. That's a good one. Missing fossil.
Yeah.
Amber alert.
Amber alert, yeah.
So the Stephen Jay Gould, when he says, Fred, that first of all, the fossil evidence isn't there buried in the rock strata. But secondly, we can't even imagine the transitions. And I'll give a few examples of that. Like to go from black and white vision to color vision, if that evolved. Well, Darwin says that evolution has to take small steps. Well, monochromatic vision, and now your brain, your retinas, the rods and the cones, the optic nerve, it all has to be able to now receive and interpret and manipulate color data, which is way more complex than monochromatic black and white data. So how do you go from monochromatic to color in gradual steps? Because at Real Science Radio, we assert that there are no gradual steps. You're either monochromatic or you're color.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not.
It's just like the trochlea challenge. I mean, people ought to go to the website and look up the trochlea and the sling that this thing has to go
through.
In the eye.
The muscle in your eye.
To turn it. And guess what? It happens on the other side, too. So it's replicated. So it would have to happen twice in imperfect symmetry.
Yeah.
You know, because of our eyes are.
And so we asked P.Z. Myers, one of the world's most famous evolutionists.
Yep.
Everything you know about Darwinism, P.Z., does it help you give us an idea of how this is an example in simplicity? The sling that your muscle goes through by your eye, the human eye, how would that evolve? Just, you know, vaguely. I don't know. He answered, he doesn't know.
Yep.
And so Darwinism doesn't tell him how something so simple could evolve. So Gould is right. Oftentimes they can't even imagine a transition.
Yeah. Yep. This next one is one of my favorites. It's from Dr. Colin Patterson, senior paleontologist at the British Museum of Natural History.
Big shot.
And yeah, he was. And he wrote a book and he called it Evolution. And there was a creationist, Luther Sunderland. He actually wrote to Dr. Patterson and asked him some questions about this book. And he asked him, you know, like, for example, hey, what about the transitionals? Are there any? Why can't I find any in his book?
Wait, he writes a whole, he's a paleontologist senior. He doesn't give an example in his whole book?
In his whole book. That's, the whole book of
that's
evolution.
That's like, how did eyesight evolve? How did eyes evolve? Yeah. No, nothing. There's nothing in the whole book.
So, yeah, and I got some interesting thoughts on this, too, from a forum, and we had a discussion on this guy. So, anyways, Dr. Patterson said, "I fully agree with your comments on the lack of direct illustration of evolutionary transitions in my book. If I knew of any, fossil or living, I certainly would have included them. You suggested an artist should be used to visualize such transformations, but where would he get the information from, even though they do that on many occasions?
They do that all the time, right?
He just didn't, which was...
It was good that he didn't just make stuff up. That was good.
Well, he went on, I could not honestly provide it, and if I were to leave it to artistic license, would that not mislead the reader? Yeah, it would, like they do all the time.
Yeah.
Yet Gould, he's referring to Stephen Jay Gould that we just talked about.
Professor at Harvard of paleontology.
The late Gould. And the American Museum people are hard to contradict when they say there are no transitional fossils.
Wow.
You say that I should at least show a photo of the fossil from which each of the type of organism was derived. I will lay it on the line. There is not one such fossil for which one could make a watertight argument. What a great quote. And, you know, we debated this on my forum years ago, and this one guy was convinced we were quote mining. So he contacted Dr. Patterson. And Patterson pretty much said, no, that's about it. This is accurate what I said.
Right. Now Patterson doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And he has objected that creationists have used this quote.
Yeah.
But the quote is in context.
It is in context. He said he was not misquoted.
Exactly.
So that pretty much diffused that. But, hey, it's a great quote.
And when the angry atheist, you know, the new atheist, of course, they'll want to lynch him. For saying this, for being honest, for letting the public know the state of the scientific data, they would like to lynch him.
Yeah. And what was neat about that whole exchange was this guy spent a lot of time trying to get a hold of him, and we'd ask for updates, and finally he got a hold of him, and he said, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good, Fred. EvolutionFairyTale.com.
Yes.
What a great forum.
Yep.
Hey, Fred, about a month ago, I ordered this book from Amazon because it costs like $80, and so I got a used copy. It's now tell me if you recognize this. It's a biology text used in universities. It's one of the more popular texts today. It's Biology Concepts and Connections. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize any of the authors?
I definitely do. Campbell and Reese and Mitchell. And I know that they've done high school textbooks too. For
high
biology.
School, college. Yep. They got like 30 editions. Well, listen to how significant a book this is.
Boy, that's big.
This is a weighty.
It's wide textbook. And thick. Lots of pages.
It's got a lot of colors in it. It has over 800 pages. And Fred, we're doing the show, right? So I look up in here, The Speed of Evolution, and on page 290, this couldn't be better. This is a leading text, okay? Quote, many evolutionary biologists since Darwin's time, and even Darwin himself, have been struck by how few sequences of fossils have ever been found that clearly show a gradual, steady accumulation of small changes in evolutionary lineages. I mean, that's the whole story of Darwinism.
Yeah, exactly.
You have small changes gradually going from, what, a fish to whatever, something crawling around on land and then crawling back into the sea. So then it goes on. Instead, most fossil species appear suddenly in a layer of rock and persist essentially unchanged through several layers until disappearing from the record of the rocks as suddenly as they appeared.
Yeah.
So does the fossil record show powerful evidence that kinds evolved into other kinds, that families evolved in orders and phylum? Does it? No. Phylum appears suddenly in what they call the Cambrian explosion.
Yeah, and what I find funny from this page that you're quoting is they've got two illustrations here, and they say that these two figures, they illustrate the evolution of two lineages of hypothetical butterflies. Why can't you show actual evidence?
Oh, yeah.
You're showing hypothetical evidence.
Oh, what a great point. Because, Fred, this picture, so we're both looking at this, right? They want to show an illustration of gradual evolution in the fossil record. And so they show a fictitious example. Why not show horses? Well, because they were just horsing around. The whole story
was debunked,
right?
Yeah.
Why not show flowers, angiosperms? Oh, because there are none. Why not show single-celled? We got a lot of single-celled fossils. Not a lot, but we got them. Single-celled to multi-celled organisms. Why not? You know, Fred, we have single-celled organisms.
Yeah.
We have a zillion of them.
Yeah.
But we don't have any that have two cells, none that have three, none that have four, none that have five. What's interesting is when you go from 6 to 20, they're all parasites. So that means they need wildly more complex organisms to exist in. So if evolution really happened, where are all the transitional forms with two cell, three cell, four cell, five cell, six cell, seven cell? Hey, where are they? They don't exist. God created single-celled organisms and metazoans, multi-celled organisms, and that is evidence of design, because you need design for these organisms to function with multi-cells.
Yeah. Well, you know, a few years ago, I wrote an article on the fossil record. I had a picture from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, that's a reputable encyclopedia. And they had a picture of dinosaur evolution, just like this illustration here. And they show you all the different kinds of dinosaurs, and in solid red lines is fossils they have of those dinosaurs. Well, the lines that connect the dinosaurs,
right,
they were dotted lines. So they had no evidence for any ancestor of any of the dinosaurs. So all they have are just dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs.
Specific dinosaurs.
That we all know about and agree with.
Yeah, Brontosaurus. Oh, wait. No, that was not a dinosaur anymore. Apatosaurus, T-Rex.
Half of all the dinosaurs went poof.
Yeah.
Remember we did that show
that's
years
right.
ago?
Yeah, they had too many species.
They had 1,000 species, and they realized they double counted.
Yeah. And so this was a few years ago. I can bet you that that illustration is probably still in that encyclopedia. You can go look at it. It's the dinosaurs. Where are the examples of fossils that are intermediate between the different kinds of dinosaurs? They're missing.
Now, Time magazine wrote about this back in 1994, and that's a ways back. But again, Niles Eldridge was saying this stuff 30 years ago, and he said, we've known it for 120 years. So it's 150 years now. But in 94, Time magazine wrote, and you know, what do they know? They're not scientists. But I got this quote from Frank Sherwin, and he has a master's in zoology, and he's with ICR.
Yeah.
He's a creationist, right? Yep. So here's the quote from Time magazine. Yet despite more than a century of digging, the fossil record remains maddeningly sparse.
Maddeningly. Can we add that to our words of like shocked?
List of shocked. Yeah. We got to do a show on shocked evolution.
Maddeningly.
Huh. Shocked, dumbfounded, jaw-droppingly shocked, maddeningly.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Say that 100 times really fast.
So the fossil record remains maddeningly sparse, so few clues, and they say virtually every major discovery has put deep cracks in the conventional wisdom and forced scientists to concoct new theories amid furious debate.
Yeah.
So the fossil record is not evidence for evolution.
It's not.
And the Darwinists got to get over it.
To concoct new ideas. I mean, that's like, I got to make up stuff.
Right.
Well, maybe I should transition right into Darwin.
Well, why
okay?
not? Yeah.
So, hey, he kind of started a lot of this. So Darwin said, lastly, if my theory be true, numberless intermediate varieties linking closely together all the species of the same group must assuredly have existed. But, as by this theory, innumerable transitional forms must have existed. Why do we not find them embedded in countless numbers in the crust of the earth? And that was, 130-some-odd years ago.
1859. I know I was born 100 years after Darwin published Origin.
Okay.
I was born 1959. Now I'm 55. So it's 155 years
since then.
That's in his book, page 90.
Yep.
And so, Fred, back then, he knew it was a huge problem.
Yeah. And since then, we've dug up a lot more fossils. And like we had mentioned earlier that Remind so eloquently pointed out was, hey, they fit right in what we already know about a fossil. We're not creating a new branch on the bush of, you know, this evolutionary so-called bush.
Yeah.
It fits right into what we've already discovered.
And that's why the evolutionists are not looking so hard anymore for the missing link. They're just not going to find it because they never existed. So you remember the quote from Dr. Lyle Watson, right?
Yeah.
About the coffin?
Oh, absolutely.
You have that?
I do.
Because, Fred, he was extremely famous evolutionist. He's a botanist, a biologist, a zoologist, an anthropologist. He was on the International Whaling Commission. He was the commissioner.
Yeah.
He was the director of the Johannesburg Zoo. This is a mega evolutionist.
He is. And this is a great quote because it points out the illusion of what they use to try to show, you know, evidence for evolution in the fossil record. So this is what he said. The fossils that decorate our family tree are so scarce that there are still more scientists than specimens. The remarkable fact is that all of the physical evidence we have for human evolution can still be placed with room to spare inside a single coffin. And so, you know, the illusion is this, is the vast majority of the fossil record is invertebrates. And then you got fish and things like that. Only 0.01% is made up of vertebrates. And so, you know, I have a college textbook that I bought some years ago, maybe five or more years ago, called Evolutionary Biology, and it was Dr. Fudiyama. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but in his book, he gives his evidence for evolution in the fossil record. He has a picture of clams. It's clams turning into what? Guess what?
Clams.
Clams. And you know what? The only evidence he gives for evolution, he does try to go to the vertebrate record, where the vertebrate record is very scarce and we have very few bones. And he tried to push that nonsense of Mesonachid evolving into a whale. And, you know, we know what's happened with that story.
Well, the Rhodocetus is hysterical because the discoverer, Philip Gingrich, we've seen the interview in Dr. Carl Werner's DVD, Living Fossils.
Yep, we have that in our store.
Fabulous. And Evolution, the Grand Experiment. He became so famous because he found an ancestor to a whale. And he said, well, this creature, Rhodocetus, it had a fluked tail like a whale. And it had front flippers. But yet it looked like it had a skull of a land animal. So it was a transition. Well, oops. Now he says on video, well, we only had parts of the skeleton.
Very few parts.
Right. So he said, we now know they didn't have fins like a whale.
Yep.
And we now know it didn't have a tail. We found the front limbs. It was a land creature. The evolutionists thought it dwelt in the sea and it was a transition. Well, it walked on land. They were completely wrong about what it was. And they still keep it in the lineage from land to a whale.
Yeah.
They have to, right? Because it's too big to fail.
Yeah.
It's just too big to fail.
Well,
it's hysterical.
Yeah. What about in the Ken Ham debate? Bill Nye brought up Tiktaalik. Well, you know, he's behind the times on that because Tiktaalik has been refuted because they found, what, tetrapod footprints in strata that's older than
8 million years earlier.
Their time frame.
So Tiktaalik was unseated from his throne.
It was, unless he evolved into his granddad.
Right, exactly. So, by the way, we mentioned Dr. Carl Werner. This is some inside baseball. But last we heard at Real Science Radio, he's working on a third DVD. Maybe a third book on human evolution. The claim, like you just read from Lyle Watson, all the physical evidence could fit inside a single coffin. And guess what? There's not a single convincing case that one thing evolved into another.
Yeah. And you know, the illusion is that they go to the vertebrate record where you've got very few bones and this and that. And then their imaginations run wild and they say, here's evidence for evolution. They won't touch the part of the fossil record that's complete. And we have tons of species well documented, well characterized from the fossil record. They won't go there because it doesn't show evolution. Mm.
Hey, could we close with another quote that Michael Snyder put together in his 44 Reasons Why Evolution is a Fairy Tale?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. This was from Stephen Jay Gould of Harvard doing a lecture at Hobart and William Smith College. And he said this, every paleontologist knows that most species don't change. That's bothersome.
Bothersome.
That brings terrible distress.
That might qualify.
We've got to add that to that shocked list of shocked
terrible distress.
Evolutionists.
Terrible.
They may get a little bigger or bumpier, but they remain the same species.
That's terrible.
And that's not due to imperfection and gaps in the fossil record.
Terrible.
But stasis. And yet this remarkable stasis has generally been ignored as though it doesn't exist.
As terrible.
Though it's not even data. If they don't change, it's not evolution, so you don't talk about
it. It's terrible distress.
Terrible. It's maddeningly crazy.
Yeah.
It's jaw-droppingly
and yet they'll say that
shocking.
The fossil record shows evidence for evolution. Oh,
right. So the evidence, the claimed evidence for evolution is shrinking everywhere you look. Even the Big Bang. We did a whole show on that recently.
Yep.
We'll be doing our annual list of dinosaur soft tissue.
We should start selling milk cartons with like the Big Bang on it.
Yeah. You know, Amber Alert. Missing link fossil. Missing fossil. Amber Alert. Good. Very good, Fred. Is there money in that?
Hey,
no, please donate to Real Science Radio. We need
I liked
your
car bumper sticker you came up with.
Which one,
the
Fred?
Coexist.
Oh, yeah. Dinosaurs and people.
We got to do that one.
We're gonna,
great
we're
idea.
We're going to publish it when we do our list of dinosaur soft tissue.
Oh, cool.
And also, last thing, we have our DVDs coming out on the global flood, the hydroplate theory and the global flood. It's a draft, but you can purchase the draft from us for $50, and then you can provide editorial input on the final product if you'd like.
Great.
So realscienceradio.com. Thank you, Fred. God bless you guys. This is Bob Enyart, realscienceradio.com. Scholars can't explain it all away. Yeah.
what I'm talking about.